You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
We are down to the second installment of our series called The Story of Us. We started off with this series last Sunday, and we have been looking into what we call biblical anthropology, which is basically us answering how we relate to God and who we are in the perspective, of course, and the worldview of God's Word. Last week, we've talked about the creation of man. We said that man was created on the sixth day, the last day of the creation, and when Adam opened his eyes, all he needed to do was behold the very creation of God. So that was the wonderful story that we've looked at last Sunday. If you were not here last Sunday, here's basically how we are sorting this series for everyone. First, we will be looking at the creation. I think we have established it well that God's creation was very good. Amen? Mukha bang good-looking yung katabi mo? Come on now. God's creation was very good. It was declared by the Lord Himself. And so this Sunday, we're going to look into what marred, what destroyed, or what caused the entire creation to be subjected into decay. And the next Sunday, so it's like we started with a good story. Today, we're going to talk about the bad side of the story. So bad news. Genesis 1, verse 26, this is where we come last week. We said that God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So we don't really have the liberty of time to revisit everything that we've talked about last Sunday. But we said that we have concluded that every single one of us, there's a concept that we call Imago Dei. We carry with us the very image and likeness of God. Then we said that this talks about our origin, our purpose, and our identity. And then we also said that every single social issues in this world, past, present, and future, are basically results of man's deviation from our origin, purpose, and identity. Today, we're going to talk about Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 19. This is quite lengthy for us to have a good context or have a good grasp of the story. Now, the title of this section in Genesis chapter 3 is what we call the fall. It says here, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight in the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took off its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, Adam, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And Adam said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself, he said. God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I have commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God turned to the woman and said, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to the man he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I have commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All right, what are we looking at here? We are on the third chapter of the book of Genesis, and what we have just read is basically the greatest tragedy in the entire human history. Much of what we receive right now, anyone here who loves history, you love history? Can I see your hand for a while if you love history? Come on now. Ayan po. You know what I'm talking about. For those of you who love history, most likely you have watched documentaries of World War II, of World War I, and all of these things. And we look at these scenarios as a tragedy. Just last week, I was watching the movie The Pianist. We look at the Holocaust and all of these things. We look at massacres of a group of people. And we look at that as a tragedy. But you know, the greatest tragedy in human history is basically our fall. And it is because of the result of this three-letter word, which we call sin. When sin crept in, for some reason, things started to change. From the beauty of the creation, because of sin, the Bible says, Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. Because of sin, because of their disobedience, they were taken by God and brought out of the Garden of Eden. A garden which was a paradise for that matter. And in fact, every single decay that we are seeing in our world right now, moral decay, spiritual decay, even physical decay, are all results of our sinfulness. So here's what we're endeavoring to accomplish here this morning. I want to talk about what sin did and what sin is doing and what sin will do. So here's what we're going to realize. We're going to talk about the biblical historical narrative of Genesis chapter 3. But I want us to understand that the strategy of Satan didn't change. Meaning to say, the manner at which he opposed, lured, attacked Adam and Eve is the same way that he's attacking every single one of us here today. So we will see what sin did, what sin is doing, and what sin will do. First up, I want to talk about this for a while. Sin comes in deception. Here's the tricky thing with deception. Often, a person wouldn't know that he is deceived simply because he is deceived. You catch that? Let me just explain it for a while. It says here, let me talk about the serpent first. It says here, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. The serpent. So it talks about that in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that there was a serpent. Some people would say, I think that's figurative. I'd like to say that this is more symbolical than figurative. So meaning to say, when you say something is symbolical, it gives us a picture that it is true to its historical narrative. Meaning to say, this is a story that actually happened. If you look at the word serpent, simply means snake. So meaning to say, in that garden, there was a snake who was talking. How passable is that? How passable was it for a serpent like this one who was actually talking? It is possible because if you remember, there was even an instance where a donkey was speaking in the Bible. So it gives us a picture that the serpent right here was actually taken by the devil himself. In short, you could actually say that the serpent right here was possessed by the devil, or the best way to put it is this one. The serpent here is the devil himself. Folks, catch this. So there was a serpent, and here is how the Bible described, Genesis chapter 3 described the serpent. The Bible said that the serpent, the snake, was crafty. You know, the word crafty here is from the Hebrew word arum, which simply means cunning. The other one is subtle. So meaning to say, the devil in the garden didn't come in as a lion to scare Adam away. The devil in the Bible didn't come in as a bear to collar Adam and tell Eve, you have to eat of this fruit. It wasn't like that because that's what it says. The serpent was doing things in a very subtle way. Are folks with me? The devil was doing things in the past in a subtle way. The devil is doing things in your life in a very subtle way. and much of the power or the strength of the devil at which he would work on people is by deceiving them. And what is fascinating here is the fact that the word deceive, the Hebrew word for the word deceive, shares a similar root with the word seduce. So in order for someone to be seduced towards himself, you will have to offer something that appeals to the mind, that appeals to the heart, that appeals to the senses. Ladies, when you're walking in the mall and it says 75% off, I mean, this is a faint illustration, but you feel like you're being seduced by that word right there. But what you didn't notice is this one. You didn't notice that the 75% off is this big, but it says they're up to. So 20% off lang talaga yun. You were seduced by that placard right there, and then it's like a clickbait for that matter. So friends, let me just submit this to everyone. I want you to understand that even for myself, as a pastor, I am not exempt from the seduction of the devil. And sometimes we feel like when we say deceive, it's not just us being tricked into, but it's offering something to every single one of us. You know, Satan not only speaks what is false, but he also hides what is true. Yeah, the Bible teaches us, John chapter 8, that the devil is a liar. When he speaks his language, his native language is lies, because he's the father of lies. But one way you can honestly say that sometimes it's more hurtful for your best friend, even if they don't lie to you, it's actually more hurtful if they keep the truth from you. Are folks with me? It devastates a home if a husband or a wife keeps the truth from each other. It devastates a society like the Philippines if there's no transparency and accountability in governance. Why? Because lie is also hiding and keeping the truth. And this is basically what the devil did here. So for us, here's what Paul is teaching every single one of us as a Christian. Bible teaches us that we should not be outwitted by Satan. So meaning to say, as a Christian, in order for you not to be deceived, you have to learn how to apply discernment. And not every single good thing out there is from the Lord. Not every open door, not every opportunity is from the Lord. We have to discern God's will and purposes for our lives. That is why, before we talk about the fall, we need to understand first and embrace what our purpose is. Because every single decision that you will be making in your life is aligned with God's purposes for your life. The serpent was crafty. And here's how crafty the serpent was, or the serpent is. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says here, he said to the woman, nagsalita. Did God actually say that you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? I want us to talk about this for a while. Our image, our understanding of the devil in the form of a serpent talking to Eve was something like this. We'd feel like serpent was talking to her face to face. But I want us to understand something for a while. I'd like us to know that the Bible teaches us last week that we were created in the image and likeness of God. So meaning to say, I don't want us to elevate the devil into a position that he's not in. So meaning to say, I want us to understand that at this time, Eve bears the image of God, and therefore, at the sight of the image of God, the serpent will tremble. So my point here is this one. I would rather think that the devil, the serpent, was not talking to Eve face to face, but the serpent was talking at her back. Why? Because the serpent cannot bear looking at the very image of God. So what the devil was doing was trying to talk to her at her back. And by asking the question, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? The serpent doesn't have any guarantee because he's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. The serpent doesn't have any guarantee that Eve was going to fall into his bait. Sounds familiar. In the same way, friends, in our generation right now, like what I said, the serpent was crafty, the serpent was cunning, the serpent was doing things in a very subtle way. So at the end of the day, I want us to understand that even as a Christian, the devil will keep talking at your back. And the devil doesn't have any assurance that you're going to fall for his bait. Because he's not God himself. God knows your thoughts. Devil doesn't know your thought. That is why every single day of your life, he will throw lies upon lies upon lies upon lies, throw arrows of lies and all of these things up until he sees you falling into the very bait that he did. Are folks with me? Yes, we could be talking about something that's so outright rebellion against God, but we could be talking about some decision in your life that is showing a subtle implication of the devil's outworking in your life. Case in point, let me just talk about a few things for. Let's say relationship. Ngayon ko lang iniisip yun, ha? Baka may isipin nyo, nag-aralan ko yan. Let's say a very good-looking man starts courting you and telling you all of the sweetest words in the world and all this. There's nothing wrong with that. But as a Christian, if you have the conviction that tells you that I cannot be yoked with an unbeliever, and that a person is not a worshipper of the God that you worship, and you feel like there's nothing wrong with this, it comes in a good package. Polo, everything, I mean, good package. And yet the person, that man, you got in a relationship, person doesn't have any reverence for the scripture, would rather play Dota on a Sunday than go to church, would rather binge watch than go to church. I tell you what, on the onset, it will look cute. But along the way, I hope and pray that you will not find yourself in sin. Go to the second one. The second thing is, sin injects doubt. Look at this one. It says here, the devil said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? This is so funny. Funny to the point that it will make you angry. You know why? Because look at this one, friends. The first recorded words of Satan in the Bible is what? Is a suspicion of the truth. So meaning to say, as a Christian, who am you? You read your Bible every day. Come on now. You read your Bible every day. Once in 2 days. For goodness sake, read your Bible every day. If you take in God's word, here's how Satan tells these things to you. You read something, he will sow in suspicions regarding the truth. And a lot of these things happen during times of waiting. When you're waiting for your breakthrough, you're waiting for your testimonies, you're waiting for all of these things, here comes Satan masquerading in an angel of light and telling you, are you sure that God is going to bring that forth over in your life? He sows intrigues in your life. That is why, friends, I want to submit this to everyone. Yet, you know, the devil wants us to doubt the truthfulness of God's word. Kaya po, have you ever observed this? Pag merong intriga, gustong-gusto nating makisaw-saw sa intriga. Pero pag tayong inintriga, masakit sa atin kasi tayong inintriga. Participation and sowing intrigues. Friends, if we do that, then we are taking on the pattern of the devil. Next one is, sin distorts the truth. Why? Because it says here, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden. That's not what God said. God was very much particular in saying that you shall not eat of this tree right here. And here comes Satan insinuating towards Eve that you cannot eat of everything. You cannot eat of all of this fruit right here. And guess what? Credits to Eve. I don't want us to look down on our forefathers. I'm going to talk about this for a while. It says here, he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Here's what Eve said in response to what the serpent said. Look at this one. And the woman said to the serpent, serpent, with all due respect, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. Then he says, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Guess what? What is Eve doing here? Eve starts quoting God. Let me just say something for a while that is rather very important. Let me just say something for a while. This is what we call the confession of Eve. Now, let me just bring this down to every single one of us. Here is a very classic case and reason as to why you should not and never miss a single Sunday service in the church. You know why? People might say, it's okay for me to miss a Sunday service in the church because I'm going to do my quiet time. Let me tell you something, friends. Every time we come up here, Mav came up here a while ago. What did he do? He called everyone to worship. And he quoted scriptures to encourage us to stand on our feet, and this is the time to start worshiping God. At that 2 minutes alone, God's word has already been embedded in your heart. Well, Kiko and the rest of the team and Quina were singing here together with Noreen. What they were singing were words that were what? Scripture derived. The moment you leave this place, you're going to have LSS. You're going to be singing that song up until Wednesday, Thursday. And why? Because that is scripture embedded in your heart. The preaching of the word right here. Did you ever hear me say something like, God loves you because God is coming into your life as a wrecking ball and he wrecks your life? We don't say stuff like that. Those are too shallow. We say that you are a brand new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. These are all confessions of our faith. So the moment you go to your campuses, you go to your office mates, you are bombarded by different kinds of worldview, but you can oppose this worldview because you have the confession of faith in your life. What Eve was doing here was he was quoting God's word. If you don't have God's word through songs, through the preaching of the word every single week in your life, I doubt that you can last until Friday. Come on now. What Eve was doing here was that he was making a confession of faith. So go out there and text your friends. Tell them never to miss a single Sunday service. Because the songs that we sing here are not just missional songs. These are confessional in nature. We confess who we are. That's why creeds are important. The Apostles' Creed is important. Nicene Creed is important. Even catechisms are important. Not the Catholic one, but ours as Christians. Why? Because these confessions of our faith, it gets deep down in your spirit, in your soul. So the next time you are confused with your identity, you know for a fact that God made me a woman, God made me a man. Because the confession of your faith is so strong in your life. It is just a sad reality that Eve, as much as she quoted from what God said, she still failed for what the devil was saying. You know, Ray Ortland said, we don't conquer our sins by heroic willpower. We just confess them to death. It's not about thinking positive. It's not even, I don't want to watch pornography. Because if I watch pornography, my discipler Kuya Mav will reprimand me. It's not even that. I don't want to watch pornography because if I watch pornography, mommy might come in and I might get caught. It's not even that. But you say, I don't want to watch pornography because this does not honor God.
And I know for a fact that sin equals death. I keep remembering that from Victory Week, and sin equals death, sin equals death. It applies to my life right now. So the confession is the thing that brings things to death, the sins in our life to death for that matter. So one thing is very clear, if there are Christian legislators out there, Christian leaders out there, whether in the campuses or the business field, and if their convictions are shaky, one thing is clear, they're not reading God's word. If a pastor starts teaching you that there's no such place as hell, one thing is clear, that person hasn't read the entirety of God's word. There's no place like hell because God is love. But isn't it the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ a picture of his justice and his love? That if we start preaching the gospel and people respond to the gospel, that we will be saved from the sulfur and the fire of hell, for that matter. Confessions of our faith. And that is basically what Eve was doing here. But here's what the serpent said. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." You will not surely die. A chapter ago, God was very clear. You eat of it, Eve. You eat of it, Adam. You will surely die. And here comes Satan telling Eve, "You will not surely die." Wala ko kay God. Ingit lang yan. Have you ever had an examination for the students here, or even for former students? And then you're wondering, huh? It's our finals week next week. You're studying organic chemistry and you go to your classmate, "I'm CJ, what do you think should I study? I think I love to study everything, CJ. Chapter 1 up until chapter 15. And CJ tells you, "Agtuoy, chapter 1 na mo gawas." We have classmates who are like that. Chapter 1 na mo gawas. Friends, look at this one. Who would better know what will come out other than the teacher? So you studied chapter 1. The moment you got there, man, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, ang gigawas. So many say it would have been best if you studied chapter 1 down to chapter 15 for that matter. So here comes Satan coming and telling you, "It's not gonna happen." But God was very clear. Why? Because he is omnipotent. Because he's the creator. He knows the result of this. 1 ounce of sin, my friend. Adam, 1 ounce of sin. And it's going to be the biggest tragedy in this world. God knows it fully well. But here comes Satan telling Eve, "You will not surely die." Have you ever thought of it, friends? That in our world right now, a while ago, before coming here, I was watching a news that a bill is being passed in California that seeks to ban the Bible. California. There's a company, I will not mention the company, but there's a London-based company that even have presence in the Philippines who will never and not use the words Jesus and Christ anymore. There are hotel chains in the UK that will throw away Bibles given by the Gideons. Do you folks realize that morality changes every single year? People would say, I don't think we have to be embracing Christianity because Christianity is so primitive. Come on now. Christianity is so primitive. Isn't it that Christianity, when brought in, brings about dignity towards the people that embrace it? Because in our generation right now, I just saw that, you know what, there's a group of people who would dictate to themselves what they believe in themselves. So one person thinks that he is a 35-year-old dog. So he comes around their town with a leash. Morality will change every single year. I tell you what, this is an impending storm that will come about the Philippines. May I submit to everyone and appeal to you now, read our Bible. Obey God's word. If the simple things are things that we cannot do, then I tell you what, we will find these crazy things in our very short, no sooner than 5 years from now, 3 years from now. The next thing here is that sin sows discontent. And this is funny because it says here, "For God knows," this was the devil. He was talking to Eve, "For God knows, Eve, that when you eat of this fruit," what was that fruit, by the way? We certainly do not know. Perhaps fig. "When you eat of it, Eve, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Number one, I want us to understand that his desire for Eve was his desire for himself. That's why he was banished out of heaven. Because he wanted to be like God. So now because he failed, he wants us to fail with him by doing the exact thing or desiring the exact thing that he did. He wanted us to be like God. Why is this a lie? Come on now. Because we are already like God. Because prior to this, God was very clear, let us make man in our image and likeness. So there's no need for redundancy here. Yet it sounds so appealing. It appeals to the senses. It appeals to the mind. It appeals to the eyes. It appeals to the taste. To be like someone. To be someone. We tried looking at this. And what is amazing here is that if you look at the New King James, the King James, it says here, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods." So the word Godseer is the word Elohim. So it gives us a picture that the word Elohim is used to describe the God that we worship. But generally, the word Elohim is also gods, and it can be other gods. So meaning to say, the plural here of gods, it gives us a picture that gods here is small g, and what he was tricking Eve was, you eat of the fruit, you will be like me. He wasn't even talking about the God of Eve, he was talking about himself. Eve, you eat of the fruit, you're going to be like me. Of course, he will not say it plainly, but you're gonna be like Elohim. But at the back of his mind, Elohim me, not Elohim God. Eve was deceived, but it was hidden from her that Satan was pertaining to his likeness. Man! 9 a.m. service, I want you to listen to this. By obeying Satan, you're being conformed into his image. Kaya po hindi po ako nagbibiro. It's not a joke when I say, you look at your picture before you became a Christian. You look at your photos from 5 years ago, from 10 years ago, and then you look at your photo now, you see the glory of God in you. It's actually true. Because you become like the person that you worship. Isaiah teaches us that it's actually not a lie to say, mukhang pera ka kasi nag-worship ka ng pera. That can actually be true. We become what we worship. That is why our minds are so warped up, are so messed up. Could be because we're worshiping something else or someone else other than the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. Greg Beale says, what people revere, they resemble either for ruin or for restoration. What a lie that Satan is selling the generations past and our generation right now. Friends, obedience is a form of worship. Obedience is a manifestation of worship. So if you obey God in increments, let me just give this to you as a project, as an assignment. Try to go about 2 weeks in your life saying no to the sins that you keep doing. By the end of the 2 weeks, you're going to be amazed with one thing. You're going to be amazed at the level of depth of your communion with God. For some reason, you look at the water bottle, you feel like God is speaking to you. For some reason, you're in the pedicab, you feel like God is speaking to you. Because that is what God does to us when we keep obeying Him. On the contrary, if you keep disobeying God, you're here every single Sunday, you need feeding because you keep falling, you need feeding because you keep falling. Then you fall, you fall, you fall. Yes, you're worshiping here, but you cannot seem to what? You cannot seem to connect with God. That's what sin does to us. Whether that's immorality, in thoughts, in words, in actions, pull your pants up the next 2 weeks and you'll realize how amazing God's grace is. We become what we worship. The sad thing here is, in verse 19 it says here, Adam, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You know what it means? That wasn't supposed to be our situation. Yes, that's true. God created us from dust. But going back to dust only means one thing. The Spirit of the Lord has departed. The Spirit of the living God has departed. Apart from the breath of life, the breath of God, the Spirit of God in us, that's who we are. Dust of the ground. That's why I tell you, be eternally grateful that as a Christian, you have with you the very Spirit of God. Out of the billions of people out there, we have been given by God this privilege and this responsibility through His message of reconciliation. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. Look at this one. Knowing good and evil. The word knowing here is the Hebrew word yada, which means to know. So meaning to say, if you partake of this fruit, you will know what is evil and you will know what is good. That's another lie. You know why? Because the thing here is that everything that Eve knew about at this time was good. So it's not like Eve doesn't know what is good. She knows what is good. Out of her righteousness, her innocence, her holiness, she knows what is good. But what Satan is doing here is that if you eat of this fruit, you will know what is evil. The word yada here, which simply means to know. But guess what? If you go to the succeeding verses, Genesis chapter 4, it gives us a picture that it tells there, Adam knew his wife Eve. What do you mean, Adam knew his wife Eve? Because the word know is also where we get the word sexual intimacy. That's why Adam knew. Adam had sexual relationship with his wife. So yada here also means intimacy. So now, you eat of this fruit, you will have intimacy with the devil, the creator of all that is evil. If God is not the measure of what is true and right and beautiful, then I am and you are. Standards in this world will be dictated by every single one of us. Here's what happened. So when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her. And Bible says Adam ate. After eating, the Bible says in verse 7, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Ooh. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloth. Let me just talk about this for a while. You know, in our 5 p.m. service, this room is a lot darker. In our 5 p.m. service. So every time I preach, truth of the matter is, I cannot see the people to whom I'm preaching. You see these four lights right here? Because of that glaring yellow-white light, all I can see from this vantage point is this TV right here. So if you attend at 5 p.m. and you want to sleep, you won't get caught. Because I don't get to see you. I want you to understand this. Because of the glare of those lights right here. God's glory overshines their nakedness. When they sinned, suddenly that glory departed. And they realized, oh, something's wrong with me. Why? Because the glory of God has already departed. Last thing I want to share to everyone is this one. You know, sin deforms God's image. Sin deforms God's image. It's interesting because verse 1, the word crafty there is the word arom. And in verse 7, the word naked there is the word arom. So it gives us a picture that now what happened here was that they have taken on the likeness of Satan when they obeyed him instead of God. Arom and Arom. How does it apply to us? We take on the likeness of Satan when we obey him instead of God. They knew that they were naked. I don't have it here. But they did something. They hid themselves. Ito po ang result ng sin. Every time we sin, here's what we do. Tago ug tabon. That's what we do. Because when we sin, there's shame. We cover up ourselves through righteous works. I have sinned, I have sinned, I have sinned. Okay, 15 chapters today. I have sinned. 5 victory worship songs today on repeat mode every single minute. Oh, I have sinned. Bro, do you need help? Can I help you with anything? I have sinned yesterday, tomorrow, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m. service. I'll usher, I'll sing, I'll do whatever it takes. Tago, ugtabon. Guess what, friends? God doesn't require that from us. All we need to do is repent, amen? And run back to Him. Because we realize that He's just waiting for us to come back. Next week, we will talk about our redemption. How in the world did God deal with sin once for all? Sin opposes the very work of God. That is why the Son of God came opposing the very work of Satan.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.